بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. While discussing the Mahdi, we got to the section where they've had a number of different skirmishes and fights with battles with Sufyani, and Sufyani has gone and become worse. He's intensified in his expression of different types of sin, so much so that he sits in the mimbar, in the mihrab, in the masjid, and does some really ugly things. Then the group with the black flags, they've come from Khurasan, and they meet up with Mahdi, and Mahdi meets with his cousin, who is at the head of this group, and there is a little discussion among them as to who should lead, and then the other person understands clearly that Mahdi is the one, and then they get together. Then thereafter, so that's where we had reached last time. Now what happens is that there are two aspects. One is the problem with Sufyani and dealing with Sufyani. So that's the problem with the Muslim. He was supposed, he's from a Muslim background, he's got people who are Muslims that are supporting him, but then, you know, he has expressed disbelief in a sense. Then after that, there are some other things to happen, which is what they would consider to be the major battle. And that major battle is actually to do with what is written in the books as the Romans as such. But obviously that doesn't refer to Romans as the Roman Empire, but people who are probably offsprings of those who are from that empire. That's something we'll hopefully go into detail, because that's a very large chapter that we'll have to go to into detail with, and exactly what places are being referenced and so on in the narrations. And then after that is dealt with, then the Dajjal will come. And then after the Dajjal will come, then Isa alayhi salam will come. And then the story of Isa alayhi salam will begin. So let's finish off the first section, and that is that Mahdi, after everything is clarified with this other person, and now this army has come together, they move on and they go towards Sham. Sham, Damascus, Syria, generally in that area where Sufyani is, because they have to deal with Sufyani first. So they go towards Sham, towards Syria, and they get to the borders of Sham, the one that is closest to Hijaz, that is closest to Arabia, or the western border of Arabia. So they stop there, that's where they camp out. And Mahdi is told that go in, go through, and it should be fine. But he doesn't want to go through. He reckons that there's maybe another way to do this. He doesn't want to go through yet and do any attack and confront. He says, rather, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write to this cousin of mine. Who he means by cousin here is obviously Sufyani, because remember, Sufyani is also from the Quraysh as such. He's from the Umayyads. He's from the general Qurayshi tribes of Mecca as a descendant. So he says, I'm going to write to him. And here he's referring to that as, he's being referred to as Sakhari. Remember I mentioned last time that Sakhar means a massive boulder, stone, an altar stone in this case. And there is a reason why he's referred to as Sakhari as opposed to Sufyani in some narrations. Right, so Mahdi says that what I'm going to do is I'm going to write to him, and if he then disobeys and refuses to give bay'ah to me, then I'm with you. See, what he is going by is that it's primarily Muslims that have helped, that are behind with Sufyani as well. They all know the ahadith about the Mahdi to come. And once they realize that the Mahdi is there, and this guy who they've been following is going against that Mahdi, they'll turn him against him anyway. He's going under that understanding that that is what will happen, to something of that nature. Because at the end of the day, the majority of Muslims are not going to be corrupt. They can't come together on one evil, everybody together. You know, they may be deceived for a while. So Mahdi says that if he disobeys and if he doesn't agree, then I'm all yours. I'll do it exactly what you're saying, that, you know, we'll go in and we'll confront them. Now, when this proposal of Mahdi is received by Sufyani, his close ones say that, or people around him, they say that this is a Mahdi, this is the Mahdi who's appeared now, and you better take the pledge or we will kill you. Right? You better take the pledge or لَنَقْتُلَنَّكَ, you know, we will kill you. So he agrees and he takes the pledge. He goes to him, and finally they go to Baytul Maqdis, they go to Jerusalem together. Then you don't hear much about him. It seems like he's calmed down or whatever, Sufyani, right? Or at least for the time being. You don't hear anything about him causing any more harm because now he's succumbed to Mahdi. Now, Mahdi is then going around and sorting a lot of the matters out. So around Sham, in any corner of Sham, he makes it very clear that any Muslim that's there, they're going to join his army as such. And those who are not, then they are considered the people of the Dhimma as such. So we're not sure exactly what will happen to them, but every Muslim, whoever he passes by in any of those areas that he goes through, they will join with him. Then a person, maybe a few years after this, this will be okay for a few years like this, he's just going around and cleaning things up as such. A man from the Kalb tribe, whose name is Kanana, he suddenly comes out from somewhere. He's got like some kind of star-shaped mole or birthmark or some kind of mark by his eye. Kind of star-shaped. We talked about this earlier. He's got a large group of his own tribal people. So he's got a following. They will approach Sufyani. Now remember, Sufyani is seemingly behaving apparently until now. He knows he's got nothing, he can't do anything, he's got no supporters. But this Kalb, this group from the Kalb tribe, they'll come to Sakhri, this man from there, and he'll say, "We take the pledge with you. We took the pledge with you earlier on. We helped you as well. So much so that until, you know, you had a good position in Sham, you know, you won a few battles, you did a lot. You then went and took the pledge with Mahdi. What's the problem with you?" So they will really make him feel foolish, to spur him up against the Mahdi again. So he'll say, and then they will all say to him that Allah, they'll bring in Allah into the picture, that, you know, you, Allah had given you this shirt to wear of Khilafah, that you were the leader, and you took it off. What kind of a person are you? So now he's getting a bit deceived. Obviously, he was a deceived person from before to have done what he did. He's kind of sorted himself out a bit, but now, as there's people who are supporting him, he'll say, "Well, what do you think? Should I go and break my pledge?" They say, "Of course." And then, you know, there'll obviously be a fight. But he said, but they were saying that, "Don't worry, there's any area that you go through." And apparently what they were saying is that any inhabitation in which the mother is older than your mother, they will all join with you. There's some phrase like that that's been used, that people will support you and nobody will stay behind. In another narration, it mentions that yes, he will break the bay'ah. He will break the pledge and his agreement with the Mahdi. And this will happen about 3 years after he had agreed. 3 years after he'd gone with the Mahdi. So for 3 years this was okay. Mahdi will then send a large an army basically with a banner against him, and it'll be about 100 people or so. Kalb tribe, they will get together all of their men, all of their infantry, all of their cavalry, and everybody, they'll have all of their riches with them. So they seem to be quite resourceful. They'll have all of their goats, cows, whatever, camels. They'll have everything with them because they're out there to fight. But Allah will give victory to the Mahdi's army, and many of them will be killed, and many of their women will become slaves, will be made into slaves, so much so that each one of them will be sold, virgins will be sold for They say 8 dirhams each. It's really cheap, right? 7 dirhams or 8 dirhams each. And Sufyani will be captured. Sufyani will be captured, or Sakhari will be captured. He will be brought as a prisoner to the Mahdi, and he will be killed on a stone. He'll be killed on a flat stone, on a flat boulder, which is laid on the ground. And he explains that this boulder will be laid on the ground. It'll be close to a church or a cathedral that is in the middle of the valley, which is close to a place called Turi Zita or Zaita, that has a bridge over it as well. That has a bridge over that valley. I haven't been able to find out exactly where that is. But he will be killed there just like a sheep is killed, because he was fine and then he went against his treaty, his agreement, his pledge, and these people began to fight. So they will be taken care of like that. In a hadith, it mentions, the Prophet ﷺ said, as related here, that the one who is going to be truly in loss, like the big loser, is going to be the one who does not get, who does not receive any of the booty from this Qalb tribe. Now, who's not going to receive it? If you're there and you're in that army, then you're going to receive it. And if you're not there, then you won't receive. So that means you're in loss if you weren't part of with Mahdi. Said, even if, you know, even as much as a rope, you don't get, like a little string, you don't receive. You didn't help at all. You weren't part of it at all. Then you're a big loser. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, how is that going to be possible? These are Muslims at the end of the day, because they will be professing Muslims. So how is it possible that their wealth will be made into booty and their folk will be made into turned into prisoners? They're Muslims. How is that possible? The Prophet ﷺ said that they would have disbelieved by considering alcohol and fornication to be lawful. They would have begun to believe that it's okay to do that. One is that a person drinks or fornicates but believes and knows that it's wrong. He knows he's sinning. That's a sinning person, that's a sinner. But a person who considers it lawful now, then that is when it becomes problematic, that it leads to apostasy. Then there is a discussion about this Hashimi, this cousin that had come, if you remember, or this half-brother. So it says that this Hashimi will come. And remember, the ahadith are just speaking about different aspects. They're not telling us a full story in order and in sequence. So we've got this other narration that says that this Hashimi will come now with his black flags, and his sword will remain on his shoulder for 8 months. Now, this statement, this expression, sword on the shoulder, he never removes his staff from his shoulder, right? Is a statement that he's always beating people up. As the Prophet ﷺ said to somebody when she came to ask him, that I've got 3 proposals. One of them is him, and the other one is him, and the other one is him. The Prophet ﷺ said, well, as far as he's concerned, he never takes a stick off his shoulder, which means that he's always known for beating. And this other one is very miserly, and so on. So he won't remove that. So in this narration, it says that he will have his sword on his shoulder for 8 months. Another version says 18 months. So again, you've got these different narrations that talk about him having this sword. And in the other narration, it says 18 months, he will be killing and he will be mutilating. He will just be very violent. Until people will begin to say, Ma'ad Allah, refuge be with Allah, that this person could be from the children of Fatima. Now, how can this man be from the children of Fatima? He is so violent the way he does things. If he was from the children of Fatima, he would have had mercy on us. So he's going to be a very strict, very, you know, just willing to. There's going to be then some problem between him and the people of Banu Abbas and Banu Umayyah. So then there's going to be some skirmishes between him and his supporters. And so this is kind of more internal, you can say. between him and Banu Abbas and Banu Umayyah. So they'll have one problem, one skirmish in the land of Nasibin, another one in Bahran, and their slogan will be Amit, Amit, kill, 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 kill. Amit. In another version is another word that's related. It means the same as Amit anyway. Until finally, Mahdi will take care of them. Another version says, 72 months he'll be doing this. 72 months is how many is 6 years, right? Exactly. So one hadith says 8 months, one says 18, one says 72. So how do you reconcile this? Then there's another hadith. So that's one problem. We'll look into that. There's now another thing that's narrated about him is that he will finally come to the Mahdi in Baytul Maqdis, in Jerusalem. In another version it says he will not get to Mahdi until he will die. In another version it says that some of the flag bearers, the armies, the contingents of this Hashimi will confront the cavalrymen of Sufyani. They'll have a major fight, a major battle, and Sufyani's army will lose. Then Sufyani will have the upper hand. So first he will lose, then he will overcome, and Hashimi will run away. And he will then come in hiding, in secret, to Baytul Maqdis to help him out on his way to Sham. So again, this could be referring to earlier on. I said that we don't know exactly when they're talking about, but since they've already met, we're assuming that now this is speaking about the earlier part of it. That he will lose some of the battles beforehand, but then finally he will get to. But then there's that one narration which says that he'll die. He won't get to him. So we're going to look at that. So the author says that when we look at all of these, number one, let's look at the numbers, the different numbers of how long he will stay. Let's try to understand what that is speaking about. When you see the hadith which talks about 26 months, 6 years, well, that's talking about the entire duration from maybe the beginning, right at the beginning, to the end when he dies, which part of which is the main events. So this is about the whole thing, right from the beginning to the end. Then, because there's another hadith that kind of supports this, the Prophet ﷺ said that there will be some of my family members, meaning some of my progeny, they will receive, that they will be tested after me. They'll be tested quite severely. They'll be thrown away from places, they will be repelled from places and so on. Until a group of people will come. Remember, this is what happened to the Banu Hashim. This has happened to the family members when Sufyani, he'll cause a lot of problems with them, and they'll be running from one place to the other, and he will persecute a lot of them. Before the Mahdi arrives, he will do that. So that's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Then he said that until a group of people will come from the east who will have black banners. They will ask for some good. They will ask for some provisions. They will ask for some supply, some sustenance, but nobody will give them anything. Then they will have a battle. They will be assisted, and then they will be given what they had originally asked for, but then they will not accept it until they get to the Mahdi and meet with him. Then so the first narration just talks about the whole thing in general, right from the beginning when he appears in Khurasan and then he comes all the way. The whole amount of that is going to be about 6 years. But then when we talk about the 18 months, that is speaking about the time that he just spends fighting with the army of Sufyani. That will be for that amount of time. Because remember, after Sufyani, this is still going to carry on. And the 8 months, that is speaking about from the time that he was in Kufa. If you remember, they had stopped in Kufa. And then he sends his pledge of allegiance to Mahdi. If you remember earlier on, they had stopped in Kufa first. So from that time on, it's going to be 8 months. From before that, it's going to be 18 months. And right from the beginning, it's going to be 6 years. So, wallahu alam, but that's the best way we could look at this. About the other one, is that when it says that he will die, it doesn't refer to him dying. In Arabic, it doesn't say he will, it says he will die, refers actually to Sufyani will die. Because we know that he's definitely going to die. And we know that this Hashimi is going to meet up with Mahdi. So the hadith which seems to indicate that he's going to die, that pronoun in there seems to be about Sufyani, not Mahdi, not Hashimi. So it means that Hashimi will not be able to see Mahdi until Sufyani is killed, or Sufyani joins in with Mahdi, which is more likely, because what we've read, they meet together, Hashimi and Mahdi meet first, then the Mahdi deals with Sufyani. So maybe that's stronger. Then, you know, we hear about sometimes he's being defeated and sometimes he's defeating. Well, that's possible, because you know there's going to be many battles. In some he'll be defeated, but then eventually they will get the upper hand, and then the Sufyani will be killed. Once Sufyani is dealt with now, Hashimi is with Mahdi now. After that, except a large group of people, pretty much the rest of the, especially the Middle East and that area, and much of the other parts of the world, will come under Islam. And they will all consider Mahdi to be their leader. And he will send a group to Hind, to India, to the subcontinent. That will be conquered. And the leaders of India, and this is what's written here, right? I'm just stating what's written here, right? So what it says is that the leaders of India will be brought in fetters, right? And its treasures will be transferred over to Bayt al-Maqdis and will be used to adorn the Bayt al-Maqdis, the Jerusalem. And then this will remain like that for a number of years. After that, it's talking about the major event, the major catastrophe as such. That is, that initially there will be a common foe for the Romans as such and the Muslims, the so-called Persians. Still need to work out exactly what this is speaking about, what kind of geopolitical group this is speaking about. Allah knows best. But it looks like in the first instance, the Muslims and the Christians are going to be together fighting this common foe. And there are a number of ahadith about a number of opinions about why that will be the case and so on. But initially that will be the case. Then what will happen is that a quarrel will erupt at the end about the distribution of certain booty or certain prisoners of war. And thus, there will be a fight between these two now, that initially were together against the Persians. That part is rather complicated, and so inshallah we'll leave that for next time. اللهم أنت السلام منك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله لبيك اللهم ربي وسعديك صلوات الله البر الرحيم والملائكة المقربين والنبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وما سبح لك من شيء يا رب العالمين على محمد بن عبد الله خاتم النبيين والسيد المرسلين وإمام المتقين ورسول رب العالمين الشاهد البشير الداعي إليك بإذنك السراج المنير اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا اللهم أصلح ذات بيننا اللهم ثبت أقدامنا اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذه الليلة ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا أيما إلا زوجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته اللهم رب زدنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشع ونفس لا تشبع وعين لا تدمع ودعاء لا يستجاب له اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه أو الله allow us to see the truth as it is and allow us to follow it Oh Allah, allow us to see the falsehood in its true colors and allow us to abstain from it. Oh Allah, allow us to stay away from all forms of fitna, trials and tribulations. Oh Allah, there are many things that draw us and attract us. Oh Allah, that don't have your pleasure. Oh Allah, allow us to abstain from that. Oh Allah, allow us to see through these things and allow us to occupy ourselves with that which is useful to us for this world and the hereafter. Oh Allah, give us knowledge that is beneficial for us. Give us insight into the deen so that our hearts stay firm on your deen. Oh Allah, grant us conviction in your heart. Grant us conviction in our hearts. Oh Allah, so the deen becomes easy for us to follow. Oh Allah, whatever bad habits and evil habits that we may be accustomed to, oh Allah, allow us to remove ourselves from them and extract ourselves from them. Oh Allah, grant us strength in our hearts so that we can worship you. Oh Allah, grant us your love and the love of those who love you. Oh Allah, bless the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, bless them. Oh Allah, grant them your blessings. Oh Allah, grant blessings to your Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, you chose them. Oh Allah, we follow them. Oh Allah, we've been told that any of them you follow, you'll be guided. Oh Allah, don't let the shaitan distort that image for us. Oh Allah, don't let shaitan put things in our hearts that make us feel vile towards the people before us. Oh Allah, allow us to have respect for the great people that came before us, who were given guarantees from you in nothing other than your Quran. Oh Allah, you said, radiyallahu anhum, waradu an. Oh Allah, allow us to avoid discord. Allow us to avoid differences of opinion that are evil. Oh Allah, that are personal. Oh Allah, allow us to have greater wisdom in dealing with matters. Oh Allah, allow us control of our nafs. Oh Allah, allow us to not have a bad tongue where we rebuke people and revile people. Oh Allah, allow us to have jamal and pleasance. Oh Allah, to have good character. Oh Allah, grant us all good character. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.